Babylon will burn, I say. Babylon will burn.
You need boo. On black on black, black on black on black, black on black on black on black, black on black on black, black on black on black on black, black on black on black. Hey, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Black on Black on Black. You are here with DJ Queen and
D Fantastic. Bitch, what the fuck was you doing?
I was drinking. Now I can't hear nothing.
Really?
Is my mic on?
Yeah, your mic is on.
Oh, cool.
Are you good?
I can't hear a goddamn thing.
Really? That's bizarre.
No, can you hear stuff?
Yeah.
Wow, love that for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, here we go.
Anyways. Welcome back to Black on Black on Black. You're here with D Fantastic and DJ Queen. We're back from a month hiatus, huh?
Bitch, we're back like a checky bride in a. Oh, sorry.
Why,
yeah,
my guy?
It's been a minute.
We miss y'all so much.
What's good, family?
What's good in the hoodie? What's good in the huzzo? Cuzzo? For shuzzo. I'm sorry. That's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, for usual.
anyways, if it's your first time listening to Black on Black on Black, it's a show about a Bay Area native and a transfer from the city south. We explore the real San Francisco and larger Bay Area by finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. Listen to this show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists who make it all happen. We'll start out with some events going on or coming up. What's going on, Queen?
Yeah, so for this, I wanted to put one event for this week and then highlight a major event that's coming up at the beginning of next month. So this week, there's a 1960s dance night at Stork Club in Oakland. Which is Friday, May 29th, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. I wanted to highlight this because they do a lot of dance parties, but this one's like a cool 1960s. And it's a pretty stacked lineup in terms of DJs. Hold on, I'm pulling up the DJ list right now so I can just tell y'all. Because I was looking, I was like, oh, wow, this is actually a good lineup of like local DJs. The lineup, they're gonna have DJ Polyester is coming out from Long Beach, which is really fucking cool. Also Ritmico, Sonidos Latinos, Funky Frequencies, they're fucking awesome. They're from Monterey. Local legend Eastside Chicana will also be joining on the decks. Top, so it's gonna be a really good one. So if folks are find themselves in Oakland, definitely check out the Stork Club, which is a queer punk bar. For those who don't know. Now you know. And coming up in just two short weeks is SF's Easter in the Park. Hunky motherfucking Jesus! 2026 edition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this will be at Dolores Park. It'll be Sunday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The cost is free. A note that there is a children-friendly time. That's like from 10 to 12.
Yeah. I would say.
Yeah, it's like from 10 to 12, and you can come and they do like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, we did it last year with my kiddo. It was great.
It's really, really cute.
Yeah.
Make sure you are out of the park when it switches.
Right.
Well, depending on your vibe,
on how old your kid is. I mean, my kid is still really young. Like, I could stay there because, like, she doesn't know what's happening
at all.
All she sees is colorful people and colorful things and music. So she's just having
good time.
But I would say, like, you know, if your kid's like 8 or 9, you know, be kind of like or 5. I would say.
All
maybe,
right.
You know, so it just depends. I mean, but actually, you know, that stage is so far away, you don't really see a whole lot.
No.
You know, it just depends on, like, do you want to be around a lot of adults that are probably drinking? And just, you know, it's just your vibe. Check your vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But good fucking time. And the weather has been so beautiful. I'm sure it's going to be nice. Yeah. Might be too hot, but everybody enjoy.
Yeah. It's going to be hot as hell.
Yeah, it is. I am actually probably going to miss this one this year.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Grass Valley.
Oh, that's your Grass Valley time.
Yep. And I'm going to a winery that weekend. So I know. Yeah. So I'm probably going to, it's okay. I haven't prepared. For those of you who are asking, like, why is that such a big deal? I was actually the winner of Hunky Hunky Jesus in 2022. Mm-hmm. As Black Woman is God Jesus. Yeah. Yes. That post that they just put up today is of me.
Yeah.
For those of you who may be wondering what I look like, that is me.
Yeah.
Your DJ Queen Noir.
Yeah.
And so I do oftentimes go every year, kind of kiki with the sisters, and then my friend who won Foxy Mary that year has been sainted, and she always goes as well, but this year I'm gonna skip. Next year I think I'll come and I'll do it right and have like a whole concept.
Sure. I mean, I it depends if I feel like going.
I think it's
a really good time, but it you know, like, basically, if our friends with kids are going to go, I'll meet up with them.
Yeah.
And I might just dip out early.
That makes sense.
Yeah. On to black dates.
Blackity black dates.
So, recently, a jury in California awarded $19.25 million in damages to Donna Motzinger after concluding that Bill Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her back in 1972, and she's a waitress at a restaurant. Cosby had escorted her to one of his comedy shows. In the lawsuit, Motzinger explained that Cosby attacked her when they were both in their 30s. He had given her wine and a pill that left her impaired. Cosby did not testify during the trial, and the jury sided with Motzinger's account. The lawsuit is possible because California has amended its laws to allow sexual assault accusers to come forward after long periods of time, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about sinners at the Oscars, baby! Sinners! Let's go! If y'all do not realize, me and Queen's shared favorite movie is Sinners. There's no other movie that either one of us could suggest that we're like, we're gonna watch. Like, we would watch this. I could watch it tonight.
Yep.
I could watch it tomorrow.
Yep.
We could watch it together at any point in time.
I watched it 6 times when it came out.
Yeah, I watched it 3 times in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so at the 98th Academy Awards, the film Sinners, directed by Ryan Coogler, won 4 Oscars from 16 nominations, okay? One was Best Actor with Michael B. Jordan, my boy, for his dual role as the twins. Best Original Screenplay by Ryan Coogler.
Oakland, we up!
We up! Best Cinematography by Autumn Durald Archipal, and then Best Original Score, Ludwig Göransson.
Yo, Ludwig be doing Ludwig his fucking thing on the
If you don't know who Ludwig Göransson is, definitely check him out.
Ludwig
he's been in a lot of actual like black movies, like doing a lot of like screenplays and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And anywhere that Ryan Coogler go, understand Ludwig is right behind him.
Yes.
Ludwig is right behind him.
Yeah. He's the ally we all need. But also during the Oscars, I thought was really cool. The Sinners cast and crew delivered like a standout juke joint inspired performance of the Oscar nominated song I Lied to You. Mm-hmm. Led by Miles Kenton, who plays oh my god, what is his name in the movie?
The cousin?
What is his name?
Mm.
Oh my god, what the hell is wrong with us?
I don't know why.
We saw the movie like 3 times.
I saw 6. I'm just like,
okay, he plays the main character. Well,
one of the main characters.
He's the one who's playing the guitar and stuff like that. His name is Sammy. Okay, he's the one that Remick is after. So, led by Miles Kenton, composer Rafael Sadiq. The performance featured Buddy Guy, Brittany Howard, and Shaboozy, and it was a huge like standing ovation thing. It's really funny because during the setup, Jack O'Connell, who plays Remick, was like walking like through it, you know, and he decided to wear his teeth from the movie, and Miles, who plays Sammy, walks past him and during the performance, and even then like Jack's trying to get in on it, and Miles is like no get out of here,
right on by,
get out of here, get out of here. Super funny. You can find it on YouTube, but it's really really funny. Mm-hmm. I will say, I'm not saying that I wasn't obsessed with Remick.
Very obsessed.
Very obsessed.
How long did you have the screensaver? How long?
Like a couple months or something.
Excuse me? You took it off a couple months ago. I don't even know about that. But like, you had it for how long?
Like 2 months.
Anyways.
Like
2 years.
Last year. Anyway, so it was super funny because the day after the Oscars, I wake up to my phone. It's blowing up. I'm talking like 10 different messages from 10 different people who have screenshotted Jack O'Connell.
And oh, my God. I wasn't the only one who did it.
No. You weren't the only one. I was like, oh, my God. Yo. Like, Like, Christina sent it to me. Laura sent it. Like, I was like, all the niggas were like, oh.
Yeah, because you had that for, you had that screen saver for like a year, bro. A year. Like, literally, two, I get exaggerated. It was not an exaggeration to say a year.
I will say, having seen Jack O'Connell with his roommate teeth in, again, and outside in public, like, not just, you know, in the movie, it has I'm re-interested again and, you know.
You're hella stupid.
That person.
I will say the cool thing I did enjoy about all the guest performers is they're all currently people who are in things that are modern or in genres that are modernly not considered black but historically are black.
Yeah.
You know, like Shaboozy, country. Brittany Howard is has explored the genre.
Yeah.
Explored multiple genres, like rock. As she's also been in folk. She's like, she goes all around there. She's really, really fucking cool. They also had, oh my God, I'm forgetting her name, the ballerina.
Oh, I forgot her name.
She was there too. And she's amazing. She's like one of the first, she is the first black ballerina to premiere at the one of the top American ballerina associations. Misty Copeland. I'm gonna just look it up.
Yeah.
Misty Copeland.
There, yes, of course. Yeah.
And she came out of retirement. She just got some really intense fucking surgery.
Wow.
Like, not that long ago. And, like, she retired. Like, she retired off of it. She fucking came out of retirement to be the ballerina that you saw come to the front of the stage. And that, there is a ballerina in the movie, and that ballerina wore an outfit that was inspired by a Misty Copeland performance, and it's really fucking dope what they did.
Yeah.
Hinting at all of those beautiful nuances that is the black experience here in the States.
Right.
So fucking cool.
Right. I know. I love it. Absolutely. More black dates. So Houston health officials launched an investigation into Mama Tina's gumbo at the Houston Livestock Show. After a customer reported severe illness following consumption of the dish. In case you don't know, Mama Tina is Beyonce's mom, and she had created this gumbo thing to, like, be, you know, featured at the rodeo this year.
Crazy.
According to records, the individual experienced intense symptoms like vomiting, chills, nausea, fever, and even reported throwing up blood.
It sounded like salmonella.
Prompting immediate concern and formal review by inspectors. And then in March 16th, inspection revealed multiple food safety violations. The gumbo had been prepared off-site in an unlicensed location, stored in non-food grade containers, and transported without proper temperature logs.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Oh, my God.
Y'all got too much money for this.
Too much. Inspectors also found improperly thawed seafood labeled keep frozen. As a result, all prepared gumbo was discarded. After operators were educated on proper food safety practices, the booth passed a follow-up inspection. It was cleared to reopen the next day, March 17th. I wouldn't eat it.
I have not heard a single person
say it was good.
No.
I honestly, here's my thing. I have a theory. Some dishes can be made in batch. I don't think gumbo can really be made in batch like that.
Not in that big. I mean, a gumbo is oftentimes made in a very large pot. But sure. In terms of, for the size of the Houston rodeo, nigga, you would need like 20 of those pots, and it still wouldn't be enough.
And how are you, like, how are you keeping up with the seasoning? Like, how are you, like, what are you doing?
Like,
you
know, I think it would have been cute if she would have came with very limited quantities and did a surprise and pop sold up. Out.
Yeah, yeah.
And like when she was sold out.
Yeah, yeah. Every day we're gonna get here at noon, and when we're done. We close.
Or nigga, she could have made like cornbread or some shit, red beans and rice or something like that, bro.
Gumbo, and also gumbo in the middle of March.
It's crazy.
It's a hot. We were hot. It's in Texas, we were hot.
I ain't even gone. That's not gumbo time.
That's not gumbo time.
That's not gumbo time.
And most of the time in Texas, by the time it comes around, very rarely will the rodeo be cold.
I know Louisianans were fucking pissed.
Of course.
They were just like, no.
What is this?
Oh, no.
Absolutely terrible. So hilarious. And yeah. Also, back to the rodeo. We're talking about the rodeo. We're going to talk about
these
the rodeo
updates
later.
Are looking very southern. I'll say that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we just were at the rodeo. So, you know, the Houston Rodeo recently introduced updates to its guest dress code.
This is hella funny.
Including bans on inappropriate clothing and visible tattoos or attire associated with criminal street gangs.
Damn, they said visible tattoos?
Or attire associated with criminal street gangs. So not tattoos, but like tattoos associated with street gangs.
Okay, nigga. Okay.
Right. I know.
They would have been looking at you hard.
Hard, right. Even hard. Though I obviously am not a fucking gangster.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Not a gangster anymore. But the policy took effect earlier this week, shortly after fights broke out in the Carnival area, prompting increased security measures. Now, officials have not shared data on enforcement or whether guests have been turned away, but they say that they're actively upholding the new guidelines. So many attendees are expressing support for the changes, emphasizing the importance of maintaining a family-friendly environment. But, you know, like, they want people still want to dress stylish. And some people are saying the folks remain on the event itself. Well, I'm like, well, that's not fair.
Because black people are the event at Houston Road. What are we talking about? Yes, black people and black fashion is, like, get up out of here.
Yeah. So parents in particular welcome this update, saying that attire at the rodeo have been inappropriate for children, and that this new policy helps restore a more respectful and orderly atmosphere. I'm like, I just don't remember. Like, come on, man.
I know, because I went and I don't remember any outfit that I saw that was like.
There was none. When we went, there were none. Mm-mm. Nothing.
And
crazy.
We were there on Black Heritage Night.
We were there on Black
Heritage Night.
So people were going to show up. They're going to show the fuck out. And there was none.
No.
Everyone looked really, really nice. I will say this, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, children are everywhere. They're going to see people in bathing suits. They're going to see people, unless you're whipping out your genitals. Like, I just don't.
Man, the United States, in comparison to a lot of other places, are so uptight about bodies.
So crazy, yeah.
Like, compared to, like, the rest of the Americas, Europe, we are so uptight mm-hmm. about just seeing people's bodies
right.
when people's bodies just exist. Like, yeah. that is just a thing. You go to Europe, right? You can go to Europe right now
right.
and see men and women and everything else in between walking around fully naked.
Right.
On the beach, just having a gang old time. And there will be a ton of children.
Yeah.
There will be a gang of children. Guess what? They are also going to be naked. Like, sure. It is just...
It's just, yeah. It's just...
You can go to South America, people wear things that you would think are sincerely scantily clad.
Right.
It's hot as fuck.
Right.
It's hot. Like, people... I just don't...
I don't get it. Especially as a parent, I'm like, if my kid asks me why someone's wearing that because they want to, I don't have anything, you know, I nothing else to say.
That's you want to do?
Yeah.
Keep it rolling, baby.
Exactly. I'm like, they're a grown adult. You know, I mean, people are going to wear whatever they want to wear.
But you're like, well, can I then take off my... No, you cannot. No, keep going.
No, because you're a child.
So let's keep it going.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you have to say. You know, there's nothing more to it than that. And again, unless some people are actively whipping out their genitals, I don't really care. You know?
Yeah. But again, it is the South. There is a tinge of conservatism.
A tinge? A tinge?
It's a tinge. Just a pinch.
Sure. Sure.
But, conservatism, but yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, LaRussell.
Yo. So, LaRussell recently dropped this song called Heaven Sent, and that is going viral for all of the wrong reasons. And I don't know if anyone's heard the lyrics, but it really made waves. A lot of the headlines are reading like LaRussell's engineer told him not to drop Heaven Sent and he should have listened. Mm-hmm. So on March 14th, the Vallejo rapper LaRussell posted a video of himself performing Heaven Sent, a track from his February project, Father God, Guide Me. God did not guide this to Twitter. Before the song started, he recounted to the crowd that his engineer had called him with a warning. He say, man, you probably shouldn't put this out. You talking about Epstein. It's a lot of shit going on. LaRussell recounted. He grinned. I said, thank you for calling me. I'm finna drop this. He captioned the clip with three laughing emojis and a brag about defying the advice. The post collected 6 million views and over 1,100 replies, most of them asking him to reconsider. He did not reconsider, but quadrupled down. And so the lyrics...
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. The lyrics that detonated the backlash... Have you heard this song?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. Here we go. The lyrics that detonated the backlash are blunt. I ain't perfect, and neither is the president. What's guiltier than a nigga hiding evidence? Can't be upset when they heated. If you don't let them vent, even the devil was heaven sent. Even Kanye was heaven sent. Even Hitler was heaven sent. Even Martin was heaven sent. Even Malcolm was heaven sent. We all heaven sent. Donald too. We all heaven sent. Epstein too. We all heaven sent. Malcolm too. We all heaven sent.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas lost their minds
correct.
About this.
Correct.
Because,
correct.
Like, you know, heaven, I think when you invoke the lyric heaven sent, you are almost always implying something that was good bestowed upon the
because,
world.
Because, so here's the issue. Heaven is a destination, right?
Yeah.
Like, and God, like, lives in heaven, but also everywhere or whatever. But, like, God, like, doesn't need, like, anything that is created is from God. It's not necessarily heaven sent.
Yeah.
You're fucking stupid. What are you talking about? Like, what the hell?
And it was just... I think what was was supposed to be implied by this is that, like, you know, all things that come to this world in some way pass through God, and sometimes God will send you a struggle, a battle, in order to teach you something, right? And I've seen some people who are invoking what it could have meant. Like I've seen people who are talking to their kids, and their kids say, well, like, maybe God sent a bad thing to help balance out the world, mm-hmm. and teach things. And I saw someone who, like, said, like, hey, this is one of those things in which sometimes a bad thing is sent to teach us a lesson, you know, like in the way that God sent a fucking flood to, like, then to wipe out the world clear. The only thing is that Epstein and Donald Trump have committed some serious sexual acts, and if I was a victim listening to this nigga say that, I would be like, nigga, fuck you.
Yeah, of course.
Fuck you. I'm not this world's. My body should not have been this world's lesson.
Right.
I don't care. Drown the world. Don't drown me.
Right.
You know. So
right.
It was just a really insensitive song.
Very tone
given
deaf.
The things that have happened and are happening right now to people.
Right.
Given that there are people currently getting ready to be deployed to the Middle East because of a war that nobody wanted.
Right.
You know, so, like, it just missed the mark. And then he came online and doubled down.
Sure.
And said, this is, it dropped a post. Was like, this is going to be my last time addressing it. I dropped the song. I don't care. It's my song. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, whoa, LaRussell, you're about to, wow. It you're about to kill your career right now. You just signed with Jay-Z. You just, like, people are like, Jay-Z's the reason why this is happening. They're like, people, Jay-Z is sabotaging LaRussell.
Hell yeah.
But
yeah.
It was just like, man, it dropped, and it's like, it's still going in terms of the amount of people who are like, that song is just trash. He's supposed to be the happy-go-lucky rapper who's, like, you know, like, supporting kids and all, and the fact that he, like, features kids so often, mm-hmm. even at his, like, backyard shows, and to make and making the joy of kids so much a part of his brand,
yeah.
To talk about Epstein as being heaven sent,
yeah,
is crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So just wanted to add that in as local Bay Area news. Sad one for the Bay right now.
Oh yeah, I mean that's definitely. That's definitely crazy. I mean, I will say this. I mean, because there's a lot of debate within, like, the Christian community is like, okay, like, can we recognize that we have butterflies and we also have mosquitoes, right, who, like, spread, like, diseases? Mm-hmm. Can we recognize that we have trees and we also have parasites? Like, that all supposedly come from, like, one, like, creator, you know? But, like, I've always just been like, well, yes, and... those sorts of things are quote unquote environmental whatever, but, like, the acts of human beings and what they do, like, I mean, are you really going to be like, oh yeah, like, this being, like, sent this down here for those exact reasons? I don't know. Also remember the idea of, like, free will, right?
I will say, so God gave people human free beings will. Free will.
So it's like,
God does not want people to follow him out of just fear and just blind obedience. It is
the New Testament God.
Yeah,
the Old Testament God. Yeah, the Old Testament God said, "Actually, I want you."
The Old Testament God would send a flood and drown all this fucking out. They would smite all this shit and be like, "You know what? Give me my shit back."
I seriously wonder. I'm like, "Yo, bro, like, what happened? Why were you doing that? What were you going through?"
Old Testament God was a fucking gangster, bro. Play. I'll come for you. Old Testament God, I'll come head. For you. On I'll come for your head, mama, and I'm killing that fucking dog.
I'm. Why you look? I'm gonna make that dog bleed from every orifice because you didn't. You ate shrimp. You ate shrimp.
Someone, like, needs to make a horror movie about Old Testament God.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
There really needs to be a really horror terrifying. Movie about Old Testament God.
You know what? That's actually. What if Old Testament God comes back and everything that
like
we do,
Candyman. Like, oh no!
No. Okay, I imagine the horror movie as it is. Okay, so like the second coming of Jesus happens, and then humans just like kill Jesus again, and God's like, actually, nah, I'm good, and just like just turns right back to like, so you ate a crab today? Oh, cool. You're going to spontaneously combust because what? I hate you.
Learn better.
Yeah.
Do better.
And you're going to hell. So, yeah, that would be really interesting and fascinating. But, yeah, so it's one of those things where it's like, you can recognize that those things can exist of creation, but humans' actual free will, like, you can't say, you can try to say, oh, yeah, this bad person was sent by God, but this person was just created.
I just know there's Christians, the textbook Christians are just like, God did not send the devil. The devil.
Yeah.
That nigga fell. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I just know someone's auntie is like, turn that shit off.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Because, like, well, like, yeah, you can create something and hope that it's fine, and it ends up not being fine. You know? Yeah. Whatever. It's time to get into this religious debate. But we're not debating. You know what I mean?
This long, long, evergreen conversation.
You know, did God create evil? Anyways. I'm not even going to go into that. Let's move past that. So speaking of, it's going to give you our would you rather. Okay, so our would you rather be stuck in a purgatory of an EDM festival. You can never escape. You're always there.
Like at a you're EDM at the festival,
yes. And you're like, the sun just never quite seems to set. You know,
does my body get tired?
Of course. But not tired enough to fall asleep.
Oh my God.
So you're just there, okay? Or
and not tired enough to just die?
No, you're in purgatory.
It's crazy.
You never die.
It's crazy.
Or the purgatory is being on some really, really sketchy corner street somewhere, and it's in the middle of the night, and bad things are happening around you at all time, and you can never leave.
Nah, put me in the EDM festival. I would thrive. I think after a bit, I would just accept what it is and just be like, all right, well, I'm going to go with the weirdos, hippies that are just randomly stretching in the corner for a little bit.
Right.
I'll be back. Then I'm going to find homeboy who I know for a fact has the safe drugs because I've been here forever.
Right.
Go over there.
Right.
Like,
that's the plan. That's the plan. I honestly, I feel like at the EDM festival, I think after like 5 days, I'm starting to get real bad anxiety. I'd be like, so how long am I going to be here?
Yeah, there's going to be an anxiety period. You're going to spiral, but then you're going to level out and just be like, well, this is just where I'm at.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I guess.
I'm not going to the sketchy corner where bad things just keep happening to me. Sounds fucking horrible.
That happened to you just around you.
Yeah, I know. Same thing, bro. That shit wreaks havoc on the soul. Absolutely not. I'm just like, what? Why can't I leave?
Why can't I go? Why do my Ubers keep getting canceled on me? Mm-mm. Yeah. Not so, anyway, so we're going to get to our first round of music. So, in case y'all don't know, Tyler the Creator's birthday was this month. Yay. So, we're actually listening to Tyler the Creator all day today. But, yeah, and we'll be back. We're listening to the first song is Sugar on My Tongue by Tyler.
Sugar on My Tongue.
Like sugar on my tongue. Your body is so sweet, sweet, sweet. Invite me if you come. It's all I want to eat. Tell your mama, tell them what. Tell your daddy, tell them what. Tell the bitches that you know what you heard about me. Tell your mama, tell your mama, tell your daddy. Slice of cream, is it your breath?
You wanna be my friend, you wanna give me up, you never be my den. I wanna take you down, you wanna be my den, no, 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 no.
Sometimes you gotta close the door to open a window.
I saw a photo, you look joyous. My eyes are green, I eat my veggies. I need to get her out the picture. She's really fucking up my frame. My brother said I'm on the spectrum. Don't call me selfish, I hate sharing. This 60-40 isn't working. I want 100 of your time, your mind.
No, bitch, you're dumb. The only thing that you're gonna get is his dick. Wait, turn this up, bitch, this my jump.
Where the drums at?
Here, take a goddamn picture and tell Spike Lee he's a goddamn nigger. And why you're running past the lotion and fat bit an Xbox Live's that fun. Before I come, I call your sister. And she comes over, I take picture. Instantly put it on Instagram and suplex her off a building if I get bunned. This fucking beginning and tell Tony Parker that I found his vision, and if he's tripping off my sneak dissing. Then he has to deal with me and my minions, trying to get a Beamer. E46, have you heard 48? Motherfucker, I'm great. Yeah. Girlfriend Prince always covered his sleeves. From cuts from the beach, cause he's puffing the trees, please. Fuck, I look like got a new bike tire, never pop like the puss on a bitch. I think I give a fuck, I do. I go raw, then I bust in her jaw like
fuck that disease.
My urethra, hole that I pee from. Bigger than an obese neck on a reef, and I turn that snare down. I'm back like a Rosa Parks fair on the same damn bus, like you're going to jail now. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could ever give a fuck? Bitch, suck dick, motherfuck you and your opinions.
Can you kick it?
Yes, I can, sir. What a lump is. Sicker than a last bar. Boulder, I'm a CEO. Colorado, fuck Michael, bitch, I'm better than my B.O. Buy me a lunch, trying to dance during chemo before they repossess our strong arm bonds and tuxedos. Well, if it has a dick, maybe two or six. Until the NRA, I'm about to lose my shit and shoot through Wayne LaPierre's hair with a crucifix. How many ladies in the house? How many ladies in the house without a rich nigga, huh? A little Jergens in my palm for the jerkin. But my mom don't catch me. Try to set mood, little red tube. Fuck lotion, I don't need lube. Dry fit suits me. Up and down, friction make a sound. This shit's kinda disgusting. Fap time and before I flatline, Clancy chimes in my room and catch me. This shit's so damn embarrassing, like
up, we're going to the office.
Bonisha, eat your chop.
She could rob my face, I don't want nothing in return. Her body counting who she fucking never my concern. I'm trying to buy my neighbor house.
We back at it,
around my face, I don't want nothing in return, except for some her time and all her love, that's my concern. I'm trying to buy my neighbor house and turn it to a y'all. If you don't know my grandma name, then we ain't really dogs, bitch. I shook your hand, I don't respect, don't call me king. I'm not your twin, I'm not your brother, we just met. See, I won't purchase her, no Birkin. Got hobbies, got purpose, got dumpers, I'm perfect. Yeah, Kelly Green wagon look better when the gloom out. Canary shine brighter in the dark, I bought the moon out. The plane fly better when it's just me and the pilot. Tuition for the mileage, it's worth it for the silence. There he goes, he cast bras like radio. Shit your lady knows, this young T like baby clothes. And I got that fire, and I got good dick. Guap long, dick long, plus I look good, bitch. She could rob my face, I don't want nothing in return. Because if she get off, then I get off, that's my concern. I'm trying to buy my neighbor house and turn it to a yard. If you don't know my grandma name, then we ain't really dogs, bitch. That's a lot of motherfucking necklace. 5, 6, 7 is the figure for a set list. Ring, 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 bitch, pick up the phone. I don't care if y'all together, I would tell down at home. Shit, I shimmy through Perry and back a Phantom of the Threads. A driver's seat of the Enzo could barely fit my legs. And Virgil, my chaperone, he look out from overhead. Not sure what you overheard, but it's probably what I said. Bitch, I'm out here living, y'all on the beat. My girl look like Zaza Beats and Khalees.
Yuck.
I pull up in the what the fuck is that, dog? It's Mr. Peculiar, that's who I be, who I be. Niggas telling women how they body supposed to be, but never take advice from any nigga with a lean gut. Keep your chair rocking and my 2 cents in your pocket. Your only option, I don't play no motherfucking game. She could rob my face, I don't want nothing in return. And will I ever fall in love again? I can't confirm. I'm trying to buy my neighbor house and turn it to a yard. If you don't know my daughter name, then we ain't really dog.
After this, you niggas can't say nothing.
Dog too,
suckers.
Dog too, dog too, and a dog too, and a dog too, dog too, dog too, dog too, dog too. Yeah, nigga, dog too, dog too.
And we're back with Black on Black on Black. That was Dogtooth by the Tyler the Creator, my musical boyfriend.
I did want to offer some really good.
God damn! Like punch you.
I will not be silenced. Rage Against the Machine.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Hold on a second. Okay. Anyways, so one thing I will say is that, as aptly pointed out by my very intelligent father, the Old Testament God was considered, you know, very compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and so that's why the laws are so serious. And the bad stuff like sickness and bad people and spit and sin is of this world because of the original sin, according to like Christian, you know. Yeah.
Wait, say that again.
Okay, so. Old Testament God was...
Damn, you really... You looked this up.
No. Dad sent this to me.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah. So Old Testament God is compassionate, gracious, and slow to anger.
Yeah.
So to speak. But that's why the laws are so serious. It was like, yo, like, I'm not trying to act up, but then y'all making, like, golden bulls and shit, and now I just have to light you on fire. And so...
You're making golden bulls and shit.
I mean,
it's just funny because I do remember that, and God was like,
we're not doing that. But you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, as a parent, when you be like, hey, can you not do that? And you say this a good, like, 10 times, and, like, your patience just runs out.
And you try all the tactics.
You try all the tactics. You talk to them. You sit down with them.
You might even bring in a third mediator.
Yeah, hey, and then and then they act up, and you're like, actually, you
you're just
going to
get their ass whooped.
Yeah, you need to get your ass whooped.
And now you're going to get your ass whooped.
Right. I understand God from that level. Like, you have to lay it on, and like, okay, we're done. Mm-hmm. And right, so all the bad stuff, like the mosquitoes and all that bullshit, mm-hmm. actually came from the original sin. So, like, when Adam and Eve were chilling in the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Like, there were none of that shit. Yeah. And then original sin. Yeah. And then they were created, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, I guess blame them for that bullshit.
Yeah. I just think that LaRussell should have, if you were going to put out a song called Heaven Sent and like, you're going to mention that controversial of figures, I think that Black people in the States have such a unique relationship with Christianity, you know, and that like I understand where he was trying to go with it, mm-hmm. in terms of being that, like, you know, all of these people have been sent to this world, and some have given us wisdom and some have been lessons.
Right.
You know, and I just think it's in poor taste to, in the same sentence and without any sort of that nuance explained before, just be like, Hitler is heaven sent. Malcolm X is heaven sent.
Right.
Martin, like that. That's
crazy.
You
that's
can't, crazy Epstein, like you cannot mix those people, you know?
Yeah. Or just make a more in-depth song. It's like, hey, like, you know, a lot of bad things are here, but there's good things too. I don't know. What the fuck
do a podcast. I don't know.
Yeah,
write a letter. Like, I don't know. But yeah, like,
get your shit together.
If you're going to put it in a song, you better make sure you better put them lyrics together. Right.
Mm-hmm. Stupid. Anyways, I want to talk about the rodeo. So Queen came down to the rodeo for my birthday, my 35th birthday.
Looking at your notes sometimes tickles me.
Okay. And so I wanted to talk about that. So in case y'all don't know, D-Fantastic, aka me, I turned 35.
Turned 35.
Yeah, we did. But it was my birthday.
We turned 35.
Anyways, ever since I can remember as a kid, I would always go to the rodeo. My parents would always take me. I don't think I've actually missed a single rodeo unless I was like traveling somewhere. Like, I always go to the rodeo for my birthday. Mm-hmm. Huge, big deal to me. I've always loved it. And so I had the opportunity to bring some of my California friends, two of my best friends, Queen and another one of our friends, came. And it was really exciting because I was like, they got to see a part of like nostalgia and culture from me that like I grew up with, right? I mean, really, the rodeo has been just as big. I mean, obviously, it was probably smaller when I was a kid, but not significantly. There was always a massive fair. It was always big artists. Like, I saw Destiny's Child at the rodeo when I was like eight.
Yeah, you told me about that. I was like, I'm so jealous.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean,
8-year-old me would have lived for that experience.
Exactly. So, you know, I just kind of want to talk about like that. So, like, for you, Queen, what are some things that like either shocked you or like, you know, what stood out to you at the rodeo, being at the Houston Rodeo, as a Californian especially?
Yeah, I mean, I think multiple things, because like I'm sure people know this probably instinctually, but maybe don't know this from like a actual poll standpoint. California is technically considered the least sort of like patriotic state. Like, I think it's like within the bottom three of least patriotic states within within the U.S. by whatever measurement that you would say that for. So there was things definitely there that I was just like, oh, mm-hmm. huh. I was like, man, I feel like a foreigner right now. and in pretty good ways. Like I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was getting there early before the Lizzo concert mm-hmm. at the rodeo and actually being there for the athletics and yeah. like sort of the opening ceremony things. The opening yeah. ceremony sticks out incredibly.
I know. So I was telling them, I was like, hey y'all, I know this sounds crazy. I know, but you have to listen to me. We have to get there for the opening ceremony of the rodeo because
you were so insistent about yes, it.
I was like, because like y'all have
and
to
I was
see,
like, yeah, I'm down.
I was like, y'all have
I'm
to down. See the most Texan thing you will ever see yeah. in your entire fucking yeah, yeah. life.
So I will describe it yes. from my like yes. let me just tell you about this opening ceremony. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So it's Black Heritage Day. You know, they're going through open ceremony. They have a Black woman who is singing the national anthem, and she got the fuck off.
Hell yeah.
She put all the runs in it that hell I think yeah. Patti LaBelle would have been fucking proud.
Yeah.
Okay. While this Black woman is singing her ass off, there is a white lady riding a horse standing up around the arena
yeah.
with an American flag in her hand. And yeah. I'm just like, whoa. And I don't mean she's like doing like one. She didn't just do one lap. She did multiple. She did laps throughout that whole entire thing.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the song, you know, when they're going on that really long run,
yeah,
she's like in the middle of the arena on the other side, and the horse just races down
takes
the middle.
Off, takes off.
And as she's doing this, the flag starts to shoot off fireworks. And I was like, what is that? Because this is also a dome.
Yes,
it's also a close.
This is in the stadium where the Houston Texans play. It's
yeah.
massive.
Yeah, it's like so. She's riding across the course, is sprinting. Her hair is flowing. She's standing up. She's holding this like standard. A regular size American flag, and at the top of the pole, it's shooting off fireworks. And as this is happening, four flags drop down. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Yeah. I was like, whoa, this is what foreigners think when they think of the United States.
Yes.
And I'm just like
100%.
And that's how I felt like I was experiencing it as a foreigner. Like, this would never happen in California.
Yeah. Yeah.
This
yeah.
would,
yeah.
So I was just like, whoa, this is incredible. So that definitely was like the most shocking thing.
Love that.
To me.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Also, going to actually look at them cows. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that the Queen and our friend also got to see was like, you know, yeah, the rodeo is really entertaining. There's also lots of shopping opportunities and the fair and obviously, you know, the show and everything. But one of the biggest aspects of the actual rodeo is like shopping for farmers and like ranchers and everything. So you have all these cows from these massive ranches. When I tell you, these are some of the most expensive and beautiful animals you've ever seen.
Beautiful.
Because, like, that's the point. Like, they're being auctioned off. They're being sold for, like, whatever. And so I remember before we walked down the aisle, I said, Queen, Leah, look around, these people. These people, don't mind what they're wearing. These will be the richest people you've ever met in your entire life. The
and
richest people you've ever met in your entire life.
They just look like regular.
Regular old, and they're fucking rich. And, like, and you can't tell. At the rodeo, you actually can't tell. Mm. Because some people, like, I've seen some rodeo attire where it looks tacky as fuck, bejeweled and shit. Mm-hmm. Them niggas are hella rich.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because they're showing up to show out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So let me give you an example of how rich these people are. So the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo set a new record this year, earlier this month, as the Grand Champion Junior Market Steer. This steer was sold at the rodeo for $1.5 million.
Ridiculous.
So if you can imagine, you are walking amongst people who went to this auction.
I feel like I saw that cow.
Sat down, put their number up, and bought a fucking cow for $1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
So right, when you're at the rodeo, like, you can never actually judge who's rich, but there's a lot of rich people there.
Yeah,
a lot of rich people.
I was looking at those cows and hearing these numbers, I've been like, that's a bad bitch right there. That's a bad bitch right fucking there.
Yeah, I mean it's astonishing. Mm-hmm. And so I love showing all that, because I was like, especially if you don't know anything about that, like it's like, no, like you're surrounded by people who have more money than you can imagine.
Yeah, you know. Also, what shocked me is that I had a turkey leg that was seasoned, and they put sea salt on it, and I was just like, what? What are we doing? What are we doing? Because if anyone has had a turkey leg, when they cook it, they season it.
Mm-hmm.
For them to then go back as they were handing it and being like, oh, let me just dap this up with some seasoned salt,
right,
is wild.
Insane.
Wild. Absolutely. So the seasoned salt part on it, I was just like, I just pushed that off with one finger and was just like, nah. not my blood pressure. Not my blood pressure. I didn't come here to die like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's why we have so many issues in Texas, but you know. Mm-hmm. I will say, of course, the most exciting part for me at the rodeo is obviously the athleticism. I love seeing the Cowboys and Cowgirls like do things. Like, these are the top athletes in this stuff. You don't get to the Houston Rodeo not being a good bull rider.
It's, you know, it was really cool to see that. Yeah, I've only ever seen stuff like that on highlights on ESPN every once in a while.
To be able to see it in person. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not like you don't know the risk, but when you're right there and you can see the animals and you can see how fucking intense it is. Like, we were there when a cowboy who was riding the bucking bull broke both of his ankles.
It was bad. And they had like a thing where, like, at the end of the athletics, they would say who had the baddest luck, and you'd have to cheer
right
for the person who had the worst luck, and they would just show you them getting annihilated.
Yeah.
And then they would read out to you what the injury was. Like, this person broke a fibula.
You would cheer. And the more you cheered, the more money they donated to their medical bills.
Which is crazy. Which it is the United States medical system in a nutshell.
Very capitalist. Very capitalist.
Very much the United States medical health system in a nutshell.
So one thing that people don't know is that every night of the rodeo lasts like a month, like middle to end February until like middle to end March. And every day, there's always a huge performance. And who do we see that night? Lizzo.
Lizzo. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
And our tickets were what, like $60?
80 maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's, you would never.
80 bucks for not only getting into the rodeo for everything, right? Having access to that food, seeing all the cowboys and cowgirls with their athleticism, and Lizzo.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, they make it up in drink prices. I got a double shot lemonade.
$24.
$32 for Jose Cuervo. A double shot of Jose Cuervo and a lemonade, bro.
Yeah.
I was like.
Now they're like, run them pockets. If you don't drink, run them pockets. Run them pockets.
Are you trying to get tipsy?
Oh. Yeah. Well.
Tip them pockets. Tip them pockets. Crazy.
Yeah. So. That was amazing.
Yeah, the Lizzo concert was great. She brought out Paul Wall.
Yeah, Mike Jones, Slim Thug. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Oh my God.
Seeing her on the flute was so cool. I mean, she's a great performer.
Yeah.
Great performer. I know she had some scandals about women losing weight or whatever the fuck. I can't remember. But it was really cool that I got to see her.
Yo. I don't know, man.
I don't remember. But it's really, really funny.
She had some lawsuits. They ended up being dropped.
Right.
I think a lot of the things were trumped up stuff. Do I think some weird stuff happened? Probably.
Sure.
Do I think it probably warranted a lawsuit? Probably not.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's just the time we live in.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say in this, before we hop into our next segment of music, I'm glad you got to see the culture of patriotism that I grew up in, you know? Because, like, I, amongst all our friends, are the most patriotic.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Hands
every 4th of July, I go fucking hard in the
hands
paint.
Hands down.
Like, I, you know.
I see our friends be like, what's happening?
What's happening? Because I'm also very radical.
Texas.
But I think for me, one of the biggest things that I like to tell people is, like, I love this country like I would love my own kid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it falls off. It does shitty things. I'm here to, like, want to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here, like, I want to stay here. Like, I'm in my mind, it's like, how dare you try to make me leave where, like, my ancestors stayed here to, like, do this, right? And I'm like, like I said, I love my country like a wayward kid. And I don't think I will ever not love it. Am I ashamed of its actions? Sure. But I'm also proud of, like, who I am as a Black American. I wouldn't want to be any other form of, like, I mean, that's not fair to say. I'm just happy to be Black American. Like, I think we have such a unique like perspective on things, and part of that is being like, I am an American, you know?
Yeah.
But that's my take. Remember, patriotism, all of that, right?
I mean, I think Black Americans, especially those who, specifically, because I know people, everyone has a different definition of what's Black American, what's African American.
Sure.
I think specifically those whose ancestors came here or were forced to be here as slaves have such a unique perspective on what the American experiences from our own Blackness. Mm-hmm. And I think no matter what, it's never anybody non-Black's right to critique that experience unless it's producing something anti-Black or anti-something.
Right.
But I think all of us have our own way of being like, this is who the fuck we are.
Right.
Like, you're not gonna, I anything you want to critique about the white people, remember, that's the white people.
Right. Right.
Keep your critique focused. Right. Keep your critique focused.
Yeah.
Because we have, like, my favorite quote that I remember coming up in college was that Black people didn't control the environment in which our culture came from, but we controlled the culture.
Right.
And like that culture is ours.
Exactly.
And so if you are going to speak on our culture, you better be fucking informed.
Yeah.
You better be informed.
Right.
And even if you are informed, if you're going to speak on the culture, shut the fuck up.
Exactly. you don't necessarily know what you're talking about. So like, you know, I have had in the past, like, some liberal non-Black friends of mine be like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't get why you're proud of being an American, because I'm a Black American, nigga. I'm a Black American. I like being a Black American. I'm sorry.
There's nothing you can say right now that's gonna make me feel shame. Give that to every other American.
I'm not starting wars. I'm not doing nothing. My president was Black once.
Nah.
Like,
almost everything great about this country comes from my culture. I ain't about to hear that. I'm trying to hear that.
Like, so you want me to erase the past and the history of literally this country being built off the backbone of my ancestors? Got me fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I can say I'm proud of that shit. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of where I'm at. Like, I'm sorry, but that mm-hmm. is who I am. So like, I get why some white liberals will say that sort of stuff, but it's like, you cannot make me ashamed of the country of, like, my ancestors.
That's not our shame.
Yeah, right.
Whatever
if
shame,
that's your shame, then claim it, but don't put that shame on
whatever,
me.
Whatever shame you're trying to talk about in this moment is not the shame of Black people.
Right.
It's the shame of people who actually controlled the systems that were built here.
Mm-hmm.
We have only been able to control our culture, and our culture has been beautiful.
Yeah.
It has been productive. It has been beneficial to every other POC here. Like, and so I'm not trying to hear that we have to, that Black Americans have to have shame for feeling proud in who they are. That's crazy.
Do you remember
it's
when
anti-Black
I,
in its essence?
Yeah. Do you remember when I got into that heated debate with a certain someone about Thanksgiving?
I don't mind. I remember a lot. Is this certain someone connected to me?
So yes.
Oh my God. Do you know? Okay. All right.
So we'll get to this, but like, a person that we know was trying to tell me and or Queen that like we should stop celebrating Thanksgiving, and I was like, if you don't get the fuck out of my face, like I'm sorry, but like Black people have gone through way too much for you to take away a moment in time where like we could celebrate being together.
Yeah,
like it is historically a time for us to connect. Sometimes you only make these certain types of foods are for Thanksgiving. We get to connect as a family. We get to connect and like be thankful that we're still fucking around. Yeah, my
guy, ain't nobody selling that revisionist history thing. That
no.
That's not how Black Thanksgiving is.
But this is what it reminds you of. It's like, well, don't be proud of being an American. I'm like, I'm a Black American. My experience is the things that I like, the things that I do, the things that I represent are not fucking you.
Yeah.
So don't tell me what I can and cannot be proud of.
When I've gone abroad, I've had to explain this to people.
Yeah.
And I've been like, the Black American experience is different. And I don't know, I don't know if you haven't picked up on it yet, you haven't seen it yet, you right. haven't, like, our culture is so, has been brought to such a global stage that right. it's weird to me that I have to explain how different Black American culture is from every other culture that is in the United States.
Exactly.
And to be fair, there's so many different cultures here.
Of course.
Chinese American culture is hella different.
Right.
Like a Latino American culture here. We could break it down. Mexican American culture is hella different here. All of them things are so different, right. And you do a disservice by washing them all underneath the color of whatever white American culture is. That's not our culture.
Exactly.
We have developed such a different culture that is actually beneficial and produces some of the healthiest things within this country.
And we'll move on past this, but I think to me, when people say stuff like that, it's just a stark reminder of the fact that, like, the content we produced is often enjoyed but not heard. Like, there's so many...
I would say it's not understood.
Right, but I'm saying heard. Like, really not listened to. Like, I can guarantee you, Kendrick Lamar has been to so many different countries, and people jam that nigga hard, but you're not hearing what's happening. You're not hearing the story. You're not hearing...